Good afternoon. Welcome to our podcast. This is Stephanie with Sisters for Society Corporation, and I'm here with Kavian. Say hi, Kavian.
Hi.
Now, last month we talked about your younger self and how we tend to allow things from our past to affect our future. And we have to remember we are biggest critics. So you were supposed to identify something from your past that was affecting your future. Were you able to do that? Did you make it a goal to start making changes? Let us know on Twitter, Facebook, whatever your
preference
is. And let us know what you're working, you know, towards. Writing down your goals is one of your biggest accomplishments. You put it in front of your face, it's more likely to happen.
Switching gears to this month, we're talking about power and influence. So do you realize how much influence your words may have on another person, especially on our younger generation? Yes, how you speak to others may have a positive or a negative influence on one's life or their situation. It can also affect the way you are perceived.
Why does this matter, you ask?
First impressions can be your last impression.
They always say you can never make, or you can never, what is it? You never make a
bad first impression?
No,
a
bad first impression? You never remake a first impression. I don't.
Yeah, there are no redos in first impressions.
Yeah.
So let's think about your teachers and the power of influence. Just by teachers alone, they have a little bit of authority in the classroom. So they provide your kids with knowledge in different subjects while your children are taking notes, listening to every word that the teacher states. Why? Because they know they have to take a test on the same stuff really soon. It is the same thing in everyday life. When you're conversing with someone, they're listening to every word and detail you speak. And then they are looking at your actions. You know the saying, action speaks louder than words.
And your actions and the way you stand are going to speak louder than anything.
Correct.
Do you notice that people judge you just off your body language alone? At any introduction, some people can sense arrogance or kindness. Just by the way you're standing, the way you're holding yourself, the way your hands are folded in front of you or down by your sides, they're going to determine by looking at you and your, you know, the first words out of your mouth if there's some that you're somebody that they want to be around.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, people do this in the business world, social world, and yes, even our kids do it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they do. They determine whether or not they want to hang around these other
mm-hmm.
kids, too.
By their actions.
Right.
And you want to be approachable. You want to introduce yourself with welcoming confidence. And you remember to talk to people with respect. It was the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Correct. So we got a couple of scenarios. We're going to go through. We're going to role play, guys.
Oh, boy.
So the first one is going to be in a business setting, and let's just say you are just hired on a job and you have to be trained by someone, okay? So, you be the trainer, I'll be the new hire.
Okay.
All right, go.
Hello, my name is Johnny, and I'll be training you today.
Hi, Johnny, my name is Sue.
Okay, let's get started. When a customer comes in, we ask, how can we help you?
Yeah. I went all over that when I did my interview. So I don't need to go over that anymore.
Oh, okay. Well, let me know if you need anything else.
Question. How do you think I just made Johnny feel after that? I was rude and interrupted as he was trying to train me. I should say she was trying to train me.
She ain't doing any more training. So she walked off.
She walked off and left me, and I don't know nothing. But, you know, the thing is, when we go to these interviews, and I actually had this situation to happen to me at my last job, where when you go through the interview, you have people that have been on previous jobs before, did something of the same type of field, but you're in a different setting, and a different setting means you need to be taught over again, because what you did there is not going to be the exact same that you do here. So that's the reason why you have to kind of mellow it down, listen to your trainer, let them tell you the way that they want to tell you how this particular job works.
Things are done differently all over the place. And right. Really, you just don't know everything.
Right.
You might think you do, but right. It ain't going to happen.
I remember the same thing. This happened twice at the last job that I was at. And one was with me, and then one was with another guy. And he said, I ain't train them. I said, well, why not? They knew everything. I said, well, that's the way I feel with this one. It was one of those funny situations.
Well, isn't that what our kids always tell us? I know.
I know.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Well, if you know everything, then go out and get a job and do it yourself.
So we're going to do another one. And the other one is between a student and a teacher. And we want to just kind of let you know how a teacher and a student may react sometimes. Okay, so who do you want to be? You want to be a student or a teacher?
I'll be the teacher.
All right, I'm going to be the student. Miss Johnson, I don't understand my math homework. Can I schedule an appointment for tutoring with you?
Of course you can, Michael. Just come by after school. I leave today at 5.
Thanks, Miss Johnson. I'll be here as soon as the bell rings.
Awesome.
Notice the difference?
Yeah.
When the student gets the positive feedback from the teacher, they're more excited and they are feeling like they can do it. You know, that's the feeling of that positive, okay, she's going to help me, so I'm going to come back to the class and let her help me. So let's move to the third one.
This one. I'm going to be the parents.
You're going to be the parent?
I'm going to be both parents.
You're going to be both parents. Uh-huh. Awesome. Okay, I'm going to be the child. I received my report card today. I made 3 B's and 3 C's.
That's good. I see improvement. Keep up the good work, and let's try for 3 A's and 3 B's. What do you think?
I think I can do that. I will do my best.
3 C's? You are not trying hard enough. No child of mine is going to bring home any C's.
Okay.
That kid walks away with his head down. What just happened to that child emotionally?
I'm not feeling good about myself right now.
No, I didn't think so.
I don't feel like I can accomplish anything. I feel like
I'm never good enough.
I'm never good enough. I'm feeling worthless right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, just the simple one parent saying you're doing good and the other parent saying you can do better can have a real emotional effect on your child. And you have to understand the roles of these people that we are portraying. Each one has a specific role that gives them authority to a certain level. So that authority level that you are given, you have to try not to abuse it and try to, taper it down, to understand that people's emotions and people's feelings and the way you speak, and just because you're in that authority level, it still affects people. There was a saying that we used to say growing up, and I don't know. I can't remember if my mom told me or whoever it was that told me. But there was a saying that say, sticks and stones can break your bones, but words can never hurt me.
That is a bunch of bull.
That is so not true. Words do hurt. And if you are human, words will hurt. There's no getting around it. Sticks and stones will break your bones, and words can hurt you, depending on who this person is and what they are saying.
I heard this story about this this guy. He had a problem with his temper. So, and he was talking to someone about it, and they said, okay, well, every time you say something harsh or down to someone, go nail a nail into this, you know, fence.
Okay.
And so he did that. And, you know, as time went on, he thought, oh my gosh, that's a whole lot of nails. Mm-hmm. So he went back to this mentor, and they said, go take the nails out.
Mm-hmm.
So he went one afternoon and pulled all these nails out. And he said, okay, I pulled all the nails out. He said, and what did you see? He said, I saw a whole lot of holes. He said, yeah. So even though you took those out by apologizing,
mm-hmm.
you never can heal that damage.
Mm. That's true.
Right?
That's
so
true.
He left all those holes in that fence. Mm-hmm. And even though he took the nails out to say,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
mm-hmm.
it didn't heal it.
Right.
It just left a bunch of holes.
Right. So do you see in a split second you can change a person's mood? A behavior just by having a conversation. All three examples portrayed a person that is in authority, which means that they have power. The influence that one has over the other affects how they will respond to that person of power. Now, let's kind of switch gears because we talked about words. So let's talk about body language. People decide how experienced you are in a fraction of a second. Some of these things they use to determine your competence is 7% words, 38% presentation, and 55% body language. So,
that happens a lot in job interviews.
It does.
The way you present yourself,
mm-hmm.
within 30 seconds, a lot of places know if they're going to hire you or not.
Exactly.
Before you even open your mouth.
Mm-hmm. It also happens a lot when you are going to certain events, being introduced to certain people. You can tell the approachable people and the non-approachable people. I'm going to say it that way.
Okay.
But do you know that your body language has authority as well? Body language communicates power and status. Who is leading and who is following? It also communicates psychological distance, feeling close or feeling remote.
Sometimes you see this in relationships. One can assume whichever person is walking in front is probably the dominant one in relationship. But what if they're just running late to an event and the other really didn't want to go? Or what if they just argued and they need a little bit of distance? What is your assumption when you see couples walking side by side?
I just assume that they're just a happy couple. I mean, I personally don't assume anything when I see one walking in front of the other or walking side by side. You never know what's going on.
Right.
Like, for instance, in the grocery store, my husband can't keep up.
Oh, mine either.
So I'm just zooming down the aisle.
I said, why don't you just go have a seat? Let me finish. Let me get this done.
But it doesn't mean that I'm dominant over here.
Right.
Or he's dominant.
Only in that situation. I'm dominant in that grocery store. I know my way around.
So it's like, and for instance, shopping. You go shopping as a couple. Sometimes you split off.
Yeah.
So it doesn't assume, me personally.
They don't want to look at shoes with you. They don't want to look at pantyhose or bras or underwear. They just don't want
to
do it.
You're right. So to put it in a business aspect, when you're being introduced to people and let's just say you are a group, organization of whatever, what sort. Sometimes you can tell who is the leader and who's not the leader, but it's very good if you can't. And I'm going to tell you why. Because when you look at organizations, you want to see that they all have the same passion and they all are uniform to each other. So they all complement each other. So,
like us.
Yes. And I say that because I met a lady that honestly and truly, she's so down to earth that you couldn't tell her position, even though you know who she is, but she's so humble with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. She's so and then humble. You got those ones that walk around with their nose up in the air.
Right.
Those are the ones that are going, oh, please don't come over here.
She doesn't think that she's
all that.
That in that aspect. And it was so humbling just meeting her. It was just great just to be in her presence because, yeah, she's very well known in the community, but if you would have just seen her on the street, she probably still would have spoke to you, said, hey, gave you hugs. I mean, you know, we just seen her. I mean, she treated us just like regular people. Hey, how you doing? You know, it's just that warm feeling that you get from certain people. So,
And hey, how you doing makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does. So just from that experience alone, I felt like that's awesome that she doesn't wear it, so to speak. So let's talk about body language can shift the dynamics of relationships, communications, and outcomes. Authoritative body language can be perceived as respected or trustworthy, while approachable body language can be perceived as friendly and social. So I got a quick question. Can your body language be both?
It can, but let's talk a little bit about what that looks like.
So authoritative body language, what do you see?
Standing up straight, not the nose up in the air. Okay. I mean, that's people that think they're in charge, but, you know, really aren't. Mm-hmm. But you stand up straight, you hold your head up, you're not looking at the ground.
Right.
You know, shoulders back. I guess that's the most thing. Somebody that looks confident.
There you go.
Yeah.
The look of confidence can be in authoritative body language. And what do you see as being a friendly, approachable?
Somebody's got a smile on their face and it reaches their eyes. Because you can tell when someone is really smiling at you or really not smiling at you. No, seriously. I mean, seriously, you can tell it in their eyes. If they're really genuinely smiling at you and genuinely, when they're speaking to you, are genuine, you know, or they really are concerned about you, or they're really just faking it.
Right. Well, some people may say that you can't be authoritative and approachable at the same time. Your body language should match your message or your intentions.
I say that they don't know what they're talking about.
And I feel like you can be approachable and authoritative at the same time.
We're both.
Yes.
I know we are.
So, change your body language to change how you feel is coming from. Let's see. If I'm feeling, I'm very transparent. If I'm not feeling well, you'll see it. If I'm upset, you'll see it. If I'm happy, you'll see it.
It's written all over your face.
If I wear, what they say, you wear your emotions on your sleeves.
Yeah.
I do.
And I'm a little more able to hide my emotions.
Gotcha.
You know, I can look perfectly happy to see you and really not be. I know, that's terrible. But I've had to learn that one, you know. I learned it the hard way.
Gotcha.
So I do believe that you can change your posture. You can change your outlook on life. You mm-hmm. can change all of that. And that will help you change your behavior.
Okay. Yeah. And I agree with that.
You can learn to stand up straight. You can learn to not look at the ground, not look at your shoelaces when someone's talking to you. You look them in the eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is a huge trust thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that have are hard to trust, they have a hard time looking you in the eye.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust people that I can't look straight in the eye and talk to. If right. they can't look at me,
yeah,
then okay. I'm sure they're a very nice person. Next. You know, when you especially when you're interviewing, you want someone that's upfront and honest. And
mm-hmm.
if they can't look you in the eye and say yes, then
yeah, they have to be able to do that. I agree with that. So changing your body position changes how powerful you behave. Holding a authoritative pose. And then I want you to hold an approachable pose for about 2 minutes. And let's see if it changes your body chemistry. Are you going to do it? I'm waiting.
How's that? How about I do both? Can I hold them both at the same time?
I wish y'all could see her.
Anyway. I have a grin from ear to ear, and I'm sitting up straight, but I always sit up straight.
That is so funny. So an authoritative pose may make you feel dominant, while an approachable pose may release some of those hormones and make you feel a little bit stress-free. I feel a little bit stress-free.
Did you know that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile?
I can agree with that.
Yeah. It does.
Yeah.
So these people that frown, boy, they're just, you know.
That's so fun. Okay, so let's move on. So male and female leaders may behave the same, but they are perceived differently.
Women who appear competent are often perceived as less likable. Women considered likable are often thought to be less competent. But men don't face this trade-off. Women can begin to address this dynamic by knowing when to act high and when to act low,
mm-hmm.
when to act dominant,
mm-hmm.
and when to curb it down a little bit,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm. So some examples. Women, we can be confident when we're speaking at speaking engagements.
Mm-hmm. And I used to be terrified to speak in front of a group.
I still am sometimes.
Yeah, no, the vomiting terrified.
Oh, not that bad.
Yeah, I used to, so I started teaching classes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got involved in nonprofits and volunteering. I started teaching classes on CPR because
mm-hmm.
I knew it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd done it and done it and done it because I babysat all my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I started teaching these classes for CPR,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sitting in a room at 19 years old with
yeah.
doctors and EMTs, and they're looking at me like, oh my God, what is this kid going to tell me that I don't already know? Because I had to recertify them. They had to be recertified every year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we'd get into the class, and there was always some new something.
Mm-hmm.
Some new studies, some new whatever that they had not seen or heard. And they'd come up to me after the class and say, you know, you made it fun. Because I had to laugh or, you know,
right.
get sick. Yeah. So he said, well, you know, you made it fun. And I actually did learn something. You know, I had this 60-year-old doctor tell me this one time. He said, so I hope to be in your class again next year. Oh, thank you. You know,
mm-hmm.
and so from there, I progressed to teaching medic first aid, you know, as an 8-hour class instead of these little short 2-hour class.
Mm-hmm.
And so I built my confidence in speaking in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it still makes my stomach twinge.
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you know, cramp up right before.
Right.
But I don't have the same violent reaction I used to.
Mm-hmm.
I am more confident with the practice that I've had over the years.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And so nothing wrong with being confident when you are at those speaking engagements. So when should we kind of dumb it down?
When you're around people that need that respect,
mm-hmm.
you elders, exactly. people that are older than you, you know, they've been around longer, they've done more.
Mm-hmm.
You tone it down just a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, you give them the respect that they're due.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to know more than you just because they've been through more than you.
Right.
So,
right.
like with these teenage kids and the I know. Well, you don't know.
Right.
Because if you don't know, we wouldn't be, you know, if you did know, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
Right. Right. And, of course, when you're doing your job interview, don't go in there being a know-it-all.
No.
You need to tone it down. When you are getting trained, tone it down.
When you start that new job.
Because the beginning.
You don't know it all.
You'll be ending the job very quickly, so we don't want you to do that. We want you to be to progress.
Or you'll be making an awful lot of enemies.
Yeah, we don't need those.
No.
So you may continue to analyze a person by just looking at their body language, but be careful. Never judge a book by its cover. And like the old saying with, what is it, Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm.
Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
I love that. Well, and you know, another thing too,
mm-hmm.
is with your body language, when you are trying to make changes in your life, if you find someone that you respect,
mm-hmm.
then try to emulate them.
Right.
You know, copy some of their body languages that makes you feel that, you know, that makes you feel like they are that competent person or that authoritative person.
Right.
Copy that stance or that body language
mm-hmm.
until you're comfortable with it.
Right.
And that'll help with your own confidence.
Exactly. So that kind of wraps up today. We hope you have found some valuable information. I'm reading my words. As we talked about the power and the influence of your words and of your body language. So moving forward, we got some special announcements. So Stephanie, take it away.
Okay. Well, since today is March 26th, hopefully you're joining us at the library with Laura D as she kicks off our first of 5 financial workshops for 2017. We'll be at the Peachtree City Library from 2 to 4.
Mm-hmm.
And that is free, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Then also your Kroger card. All of you that have one, go to KrogerCommunityRewards.com. Enter your card number or your alternate ID. It'll take either one. And register your card, create an account, and then you're able to link that account to Sisters for Society Corporation
mm-hmm.
so that we get donations from Kroger, you know, as a part of your purchase. Also, Amazon Smile. If you have an Amazon account, link your Amazon Smile account to that, and, you know, that will help us as well. And we will be working on other things. We hope you got something out of this. Please connect with us on social media and let us know what you think, any questions you might have or comments. And we hope that you will join us again next month. I don't remember what we're talking about next month, but I'm sure it'll be something that'll help us all.
Follow us on Facebook and you'll find out.
Visit us on our website.
You'll find out.
We have Twitter and Instagram, and you'll find out.
You'll find out.
Have a great day.